He's talking to Brother Farmer, but
he is a little hard of hearing, but now he has some really good hearing aids, so I have to quiet down. I joke. Good to see you all here. It was camp was wonderful. It was good to see you all at camp, and we're still here to see you again a little bit more. We're so happy to be here with you today, and God bless you all. We love you.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Very unique situation in Kayana, Norvik, with Brother Farmer going to work at Red Dog Mine for 3 weeks, and Sister Farmer kept things moving and perking and going, and the blessing of the Lord there. So we're thankful for that. And amazing how the evangelism at Red Dog Mine with Brother Farmer and now Brother Summers just exploded. And many, many contacts with people in the region, and people being filled with the Holy Ghost, people being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, like the scripture teaches. Thank God that the Lord has done a work. And there's still more to come. Still more to come. Praise God. And we're believing the Lord for that. Amen. I know Brother Farmer's got good reports to share with us, and then the preaching of the Word of God. We want him to come now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor. Give the Lord a hand clap and praise today. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Amen, amen. You can be seated in the name of the Lord. I was just looking at the calendar. I think, Pastor, that this is the longest that I've been on the peninsula since I was in the fifth grade. Been a day or two ago. Yeah, my plans did not include being here this long, but my plans can be interrupted. How about your plans? Yeah, we you know, if we serve a God that is King and He's Lord, and He's also got the right plan. And sometimes that plan's hard to figure out, but if we just trust Him and just go with Him. That song we sang a few minutes ago about being surrounded. But we are really surrounded by the Lord. My mind immediately went to IFR flying, when you cannot see anything. But you have to trust your instruments and trust that you know just where you are. And when you're living for God, when you can't see everything, you got to trust that you're in His hand. It doesn't matter whether you can see. You know, my Bible tells me that He orders the steps. Sometimes them steps you can't see very far. Amen. I love my wife. We've had an awesome vacation here together. And you've seen how short and sweet her testimony was. Sometimes that's how she is with me, real short and sweet. And she's always sweet, though. Always sweet, and I love her so much. Amen, amen. I appreciate my pastor and my pastor's wife. And when I think about Brother Glover, a couple things stick out with me. One is the men that he makes for the kingdom of God. And the other is how that this is probably the most positive individual I've ever been around. Whenever there's a situation comes up, whenever he first hears of it, he's always looking for the positive, not the negative. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's a gift. That's a special spirit. And if you have that man for your pastor, you better thank God that he's your pastor. Amen. I'm excited to see the praise team and the ministry that goes forth in this church. And it's good to see a big crowd here today. Amen. If you know me very long, you probably know that I have a burden for souls. And that burden for souls drives me. And I wanted to be with the prophet of Alaska. I don't know how come we got a prophet from Alaska that lives in Texas. How do you figure that out? I mean, he's up here more than he is in Texas. I just don't see why he just don't move up here, get it done with, and be where God calls him to be. Come on now, somebody. Amen. But I appreciate Brother Lamas and appreciate his ministry. And he went to Kiana, and I was going to meet him up there. And there's a transition period taking place with the churches up there and the Eskimo people. You know that I love the Eskimo people. The only thing that's wrong with me is I'm white. But my blood is Eskimo. I was born and raised in this state. And when I get around them people, I just jive with them, man. It's good stuff. They are good people. When they're off the drugs and the alcohol, there's not a finer people that walks the face of this earth. That may be because of the burden God give me for the Eskimo people, but man, they're just good folks. Did you see that crowd that was at camp this year? Wasn't that awesome? Oh, I just love that. Just love that. But there's a transition period taking place right now between pastors and pastorship, and there's some struggles with that, not between Brother Summers and myself, but in the church body itself. And I was planning to be up there for the revival, and I couldn't get up there, and for a couple different reasons. And I was sitting on the Murphy's deck at the cabin early one morning, and I just had a revelation. I wasn't supposed to be there. That was supposed to be Pastor Summers' revival. And Pastor Summers flying the prophet around and having revival. And you know what? I was cool with that. Sometimes when we're so driven, God has to hold us back. But don't get accustomed to be held back. He didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost to be held back. He didn't fill me with the Holy Ghost to be held back. It's just a matter of putting wisdom with the Spirit. Amen. So this is a new job for me, and I'm working my way into it. But I have a burden for souls, and I never thought that I would be a preacher, let alone be a pastor in this wonderful kingdom of God. And when I come to the Lord, you see, the problem with me is I know where I come from. You guys think you know where I come from, but I know. And I could not see any office or any place in God's kingdom for me, but I did see the hope of being a soul winner. And I prayed for that. I fasted for that. I desired that with my whole heart. And the thing that's happened at the Red Dog Mine, it just blows my mind yet today. But that desire to be a soul winner has converted several people up there in the mine and in the villages, and thank God for his mercy and for his help and his guidance. But over the last year or so, the Lord has added to my burden of being a soul winner, not to just win souls, but to help his people be soul winners, be disciple makers, as we heard so elegantly at camp. And I want to share your thoughts on this subject today. And I'm going to read one scripture and let you sit down. So Acts 1:8, if you would mind standing with me. And if you could, brother, don't put the title to this message up there yet until I motion to you, okay? Acts 1:8. But ye, everybody says that's me, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then there's that little semicolon that says, this is all sounds good, but here comes the meaning, the reason you're getting the Holy Ghost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and up to the utmost part of the earth. Pastor, would you pray?
I pray your anointing upon Brother Farmer. I pray your anointing upon our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord God, to your word, to apply it, to put it into effect. God, to do your work in this world.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can shake somebody's hand, tell them that you're glad to have them in the house of the Lord. Then you can be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Love you, bro.
Bless you. Love Bless you, sir, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you're in this congregation and you're a visitor here, don't judge this church by what you hear me say today. You need to judge it from the pastor that regularly speaks behind this pulpit. If you are here today and you do not have the Holy Ghost, I want to explain to you that this is the plan of God for you. And He knows the exact time. And He knows when. And He knows your heart. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost today, understand that God says you will. You shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost. See, you don't have power before. It's after the Holy Ghost. So you got to have it. Everybody say amen. Not everybody is a preacher, a pastor, a leader. But everyone that has received the Holy Ghost, as the book of Acts teaches us, have been chosen by God, not by a man, but by God to be His witness. There's a reason for the infilling. Amen. To be His witness. That's why it was given to you. You may consider and may have been taught, and if I am wrong, Pastor will straighten this out. It is for salvation, but it's not just for salvation. And if that's all you think the Holy Ghost is about, is your salvation, you're missing something. All right. Yes, God wants everybody to be saved. But the only way that's going to happen is if He gets the first group full of the Holy Ghost and start witnessing. Okay. Amen. I need to be a witness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And often, the results of being a witness, amen, produces what the Bible calls fruit. Is that a term you all recognize? Fruit?
Yeah.
Amen. The kingdom of God produces fruit. This is the church produces fruit. Every individual produces fruit. Amen. I'd like to call your attention to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read 1 through 30 here. I may not read it all. As I skip down, that's the guy back there on that computer, he's smart enough to keep up with me. But Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Isn't that awesome to know that there is males and females? And there's a difference. Woo! Hallelujah. God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. You know, the first commandment that God gave man was to be fruitful. To be fruitful. Amen. Multiply. And replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish. In 29, the word says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, say that with me, every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. There's a key there. I give you every tree which has got fruit that yields seed. See, that what seed does, whether you're a human or a tree, it produces fruit. It reproduces something. So this tree that they're supposed to eat off of, every tree, has got to produce something that produces life. Not too complicated. It's got to have, you know, Adam and Eve, they say they ate an apple. I don't believe that. Apples reproduce. Come on now. And then in 30 it says, every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth. Now watch. Wherein there is life. See, that seed's got to bear life. When you look these words up, bearing seed and yielding seed, they're exactly the same Hebrew number. They're the same meaning. This means to conceive. It means to become pregnant. It means to produce yielding seed. I can tell you, when we read this, and this fruitful and multiply, we automatically think of producing human babies. But I can tell you, once you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, that the command is to be fruitful and multiply. As you were born the first time, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. When you are reborn, there's another command that says, be fruitful and multiply. Oh, hallelujah. Praise, I feel his presence in this place. And we do this by being his witness. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In 2:16 and 17, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou eatest, that thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now, that's interesting. Because when you eat of that fruit, or that stuff, I don't think it was seed-bearing fruit. I think it was something else. Thou shalt surely die. See, there's different trees here. There are different trees that's planted in our life. There's different things that we can eat off of. One produces life and is a fruit-yielding seed. You can eat that and multiply, okay? But there's another tree, and it produces death. And there's no life in that tree. The problem is we have to ask ourselves, okay, what tree have I been eating off of? You're in the garden, and you're walking in God's garden right here on this peninsula. And what are you eating off of? Well, we will know you by your fruit.
True.
We'll know us by our fruits. Uh-huh. So what are we eating off of? What are we producing? Hallelujah. The Lord uses trees and fruit all through the Bible. In Matthew 7:15, he's talking about beware of false prophets here. But in 16, he says, you shall know them by their fruit.
Right.
How do you tell whether you got a false prophet or not? If he don't follow, live, and preach the Word of God exactly as it's spoken in there, all of it. I'm not talking about skipping a bunch of verses. But you can know them by their fruit.
Okay.
What they bring forth, is it bringing life? Is it bringing changes of life and the people that are converted by his preaching? That's fruit. That's good fruit.
Right.
Woo! So you'll know false prophets. And then the Bible goes on to say, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. 18 says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And 19 says every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. And then 21, put 21 up there. This is an awesome scripture. I love it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will.
Right.
What is the will of our Father?
Uh-huh.
I got Bible that says it's to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And to be his witness. Come on, that's his will. That's why he called us. That's why he filled us with his Spirit. So how do we become kingdom minded? How do we become soul conscious? How do we become discipleship makers? Well, in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, 18 and 19, follow me here. We're going to read part of 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, I've found something that astounded me that I didn't realize.
Okay.
But go ahead and put it back up there. I'm looking at it. When anyone Stop right there. Anyone do this with your finger? He's talking about anyone. He's talking about all of us. He's not talking about somebody that is backslidden, somebody that gets word in him and then leaves. Not only. He says, anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Think about that. That's why we have teachers like Sister Denny. That's why we have Bible reading courses. That's why we go to places and that's why we have camps, because to hear things we haven't heard. Or maybe have heard over and over and over and haven't understood. Amen? But anyone can have this word that's put in their heart and not understood, taken out of his heart. If you don't know it's worth fighting for, it can be gone. If you don't understand that this is for me, this is what God wants for me, amen, then you can lose it. Amen. The Bible tells us later in 22, it says, he that received seed among the thorns. And this is what bothers me. It says, he that heareth the word and the care of this world. That's not sinning. Understand that. That's not living an evil life. That's just the cares of this world. Getting a job, paying the rent, paying the light bill. Get sure there's oil in the tank. Oh, we got to chop wood before winter. Cares of this life.
That's right.
And that could cause us to be unfruitful. Going fishing. I'll tell you how to make that fruitful. Take somebody with you. You want to make a disciple. And go fishing. That's not wasted time. Take a young man with you to go get wood and cut wood and get the wood ready. Take somebody that needs to be around you. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. When the oil man delivers the oil, go out there and invite him to church. You can turn everything, every care of this life and make it fruitful. Now, you live next to some of the best fishing waters in the world. But if you don't get your line and your hook in that water out there, you ain't going to catch nothing. So if you don't try, you ain't going to catch anything. You got to be a witness. You got to bring somebody close that needs to hear just an encouraging word. I mean, did you know that love in a church is fruit? We get a visitor that comes in the door. You don't got to teach him a Bible study and just blah, 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 blah. No. What you need to do is love them. Disciple them. Make them want to be around you. Hey, can I call you sometime? Well, sure. That'd be great. And I tell you what, it really works when they say, could you teach me a Bible study? I mean, most of the successful things that have happened to me in my life, I show people pictures. And I'll show them pictures of baptisms. Oh, I would like to do that. How do you do that? Could you do that for me? Well, yeah, but I got to give you a study first. It didn't start out with, hey, my name's Pastor Farmer. I need to teach you a Bible study. That's like walking to the pool of water and slapping the pole in the water. Hey, fish, I'm here, and I'm ready to hook you. How's that work? Thank God for good ground. Good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it and bears fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. So now I'm getting, now that was a preface to the message. Now we'll get into the message. 1 Corinthians 2:14, please. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. See, in order for God to help us be fruitful, we got to have His Spirit. And not only do we got to have His Spirit, we got to receive all of the things, plural, more than one, that goes with the Holy Ghost. Amen. for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they be known of him, because they are spiritually discerned. You can read the Bible, you can even have the Holy Ghost, and you can read it every day and not be fruitful. Yeah. But if we can get out of this carnal thinking, the stinking thinking, this is where I get my title. The natural man don't get it. Maybe we're trying to figure it out the wrong way. Just a thought.
Yeah.
It's a thought. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a veil between the Holy of Holies and man. The high priest alone, once a year, went into the Holy Holies with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. When Jesus died in Matthew 27:51, amen, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That was to open the door, as it were, so that we would have access to the Holy of Holies. Do you know that there's still a veil that keeps us from accessing the Holy of Holies? You know what that is? Flesh. We got to get past our flesh and trying to figure this thing out if we're going to get into the Holy of Holies and let God do what He wants with our heart. Because this thing don't work. I didn't think me the Holy Ghost. I didn't think me into the kingdom. We pray in the Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit. So if you're not praying in tongues, then the Spirit can't get in there. You got to do that. Am I right, prophet? Amen. So in another version, the Bible says this, the same scripture. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, cannot receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can only be known by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communication. That ain't thinking about it. That's doing it. That's doing the will of the Father to get our spirit in communion with His Spirit. Watch Romans 8:6-7. Put that up there, please. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you have life and peace? Oh. Watch 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That means my mind ain't going to figure this out and ain't never going to figure this out. See, my mind is part of my flesh. That's part of the veil that keeps me from God. My mind is part of my flesh. Guess what? I'm not a scientist. Okay? I'm not following some scientist set of books here. Teaching me about Revelation and teaching me about the big explosion and how we come out of a rock. That's what the mind does. That's what the mind does without the Spirit. But if you can get your spirit connected with God's Spirit. Woo! And I tell you what, then understanding comes. And then revelation comes. And then we go, woo! Oh, I remember as a new convert, man, I'd get a revelation. I'd be so excited about it because I didn't think anybody else knew it. And man, I'd come to church and I'd tell Pastor, oh, I got this. You're going to love this. Oh, Pastor Thursday, he's so patient. And I just be, man, my heart's pounding. I got something to tell him. And when I told him this one thing, he says, "Brother Farmer, you've heard me preach that for 3 years." Okay, now there's an example of hearing but not understanding. It's real. We can be in here and have the greatest teacher, amen, is on a peninsula right there, teaching us. But when you mix his spirit with his teaching, come on now, somebody, then it becomes a revelation. And then when you go, "Hey, that's right. Hey, that's right, preacher. Preach that word. Hallelujah." Why? Because not because I figured it out up here. No, because my spirit got with God's spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. You know, the natural man don't get it. The carnal man is never going to understand the things of God. Brother Lama says it this way: don't miss the moment trying to make God make sense. God don't make sense. He makes miracles. God don't make sense. You're trying to figure him out with this thing up here. Forget it. No, he makes miracles. He can take somebody that is steeped in sin and pull them out and clean them off and set them on a rock. That don't make sense. Everybody else says, "I wouldn't spend my time with him. I wouldn't spend my time with her." But God goes, "No, no. I'm going over there. I'm going to talk to that person." Woo! Woo! I am so glad that God doesn't listen to man to make his decisions. Come on now. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. You think you just send me them little texts and I don't pay attention, huh? Now, God don't make sense. The natural man don't give it. There's a story in the New Testament I'm going to prove to you about this. Can I take my coat off, Pastor?
Sure.
Nice to be warm in Alaska. Thank you, sir. Zacharias and Elizabeth, the Bible says they were stricken in age. They were past miracle time. They were past being able to have babies. They had no child. They were too old. Zacharias was in the temple and he was doing his course in the temple. And the angel of the Lord come in there and stood alongside the right side. And when Zacharias seen him, he was troubled and fear came upon him. And the angel said to him, "Fear not. Fear not. Your prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. And you shall call his name John." Now listen. Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't name this baby. This name come from heaven. The messenger named this child. That's not tradition. If you're just following traditions in your life, you're going to miss it. Because them are carnal man's ways. Tradition is not where it's at. It's getting in the spirit. That's where it's at. Amen. So Zacharias, he said to the angel, "How am I going to know this?" And the angel says, "I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." Yeah. Now, this is like when Joshua, they're getting ready to go around Jericho, and Joshua went out there, I think, to talk to the Lord. And here's this great big giant man standing there. And Joshua walks up to him and says, "Are you on our side or our enemy's side?" Listen to the response of this angel. "Nay." In other words, "I'm not on either one of your side." That's what that means. I'm not on either one of your side. No, no. "But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." You know what that's saying? He's saying, "I'm on God's side. And if you want to get on God's side, then you can fight with me against your enemies." Do you understand that the Lord will fight for us and fight with us, but we got to get on his side. We got to get with him. It's not just a song, somebody. It's not just for dancing and praise. It's for life.
All right. All right. Praise God.
But because Zacharias said this, the angel just shut him up. You know why he shut him up? He left him dumb, not able to speak, the Bible says. You know why? Because what comes out of your mouth is life or death. There's some things we shouldn't say. My wife's going, uh-huh. Preach to yourself there, young man. Yeah, I can hear her. I love her. But anyway, for this miracle to happen, the mouth's got to be speaking the right things. That's why it's so important to have a positive pastor. As soon as a situation comes, he always looks for the good. He always looks for what's going to be uplifting. Hallelujah. And if he doesn't know it, what he does is laugh until the Lord gives it to him. That's what he does. I've lived through that. I crushed a man lift at Red Dog. I almost got fired. I mean, if there had been a man in that man lift, it would have killed him. And because I was tired, not paying attention, I backed into this man lift and crushed the basket. I got sent home. I didn't know if I had a job. First thing I did when I got home was call my pastor. And when I told him about it, you know what he did? He started laughing. He's laughing. I got this phone in my hand, and this is no exaggeration. I got this phone in my hand, and I pulled it out, and I thought, this ain't funny, buddy. Thank God I didn't say it. Come on now. I mean, sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut or laugh. One of the two is acceptable, okay? But Pastor laughed for a while, and then when he heard from the Lord, I believe that's what happened anyway, he stops laughing. He goes, Brother Farmer, he says, you have been faithful. And it's going to be really neat to see how God pulls this off and what he does in your life. Come on, somebody. You can have your world crashing down around you, but all you can see is that. You need somebody in your life that can turn it over and lift it up. Say, hey, this may be not be as bad as you think. And you know, God took them that hitch or two hitches of that I got suspended for and replaced that money somewhere else. I didn't hurt, but I'm sure glad I kept my mouth shut. He said, Elizabeth is going to bear thee a son, and you're going to call his name John. John means Jehovah's. Jehovah is a gracious giver. Yeah. So when Elizabeth's time was full, her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her, and they come over to rejoice with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias. Tradition. They're speaking something out of their mouth that was not what the messenger said. Amen. Hallelujah. After the name of his father, the mother answered and said, not so. We're not going to do tradition here. I know you thought about this and you figured it out and you know what you're doing. No, we're not doing it that way. I've heard from a higher power. Amen. He shall be called John. But the neighbors and the relatives, those that had not heard the messenger, they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that's called by this name. So they made signs to the father because he couldn't talk. And they handed him a writing table. And he wrote, his name is John. And watch this. And they marveled. Isn't it amazing that in Scripture, that when the natural man don't get it, they marvel. Put that with the word marvel wherever you see it in the Bible. If they're marveling, it's because something they've missed it. There's something gone from them. And immediately, of course, Zechariah's mouth was opened, his tongue loosened, and he was able to praise God. John the Baptist. Matthew 11, 12, and 13 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and of the law prophesied, watch this, until John. Now see, in the Old Testament, it was the law and the prophets, law and the prophets, law and the prophets. But in the New Testament, it's the apostles and prophets, apostles and prophets, apostles and prophets. But it wasn't until John that changed. Now, Ephesians 2:20 says this, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Right.
In the book of John, we see here where John was getting run over the rocks there by the priests and the Levites. They're going, who art thou? And he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said by the prophet Isaiah. Well, why are you baptizing then, if you not be that Christ? John answered, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you who you don't know.
Yeah.
They were hearing, but they were not hearing. Matthew 3:11. Put this on the screen, please. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Holy Ghost and fire. That fire, you look it up, it literally means lightning. I tell you what, when you see lightning strike next to somebody, you know what they don't do? They don't stand still and go, well, that was cool. It might strike again. Oh, come on. Now, lightning moves people. Lightning moves things. Lightning changes things. And in Matthew 5:6, the Bible says this, Brother Lamas, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know the problem with that is, here's the problem with that. We interpret that to mean be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. But my question is, what about the fire? See, Holy Ghost without the fire is not fruitful. Holy Ghost without the fire, you may get the Holy Ghost. What's for me? God give it to me. Hallelujah. I'm saved now. Praise God and thank God for that. But you know what? That's not why he give it. Not just for that. He give it for us to be his witness.
Yes, sir.
And he didn't give us to be this little witness that goes, oh, praise Jesus. This is not fire. This is not fire. Brother Lamas, is this fire? Won't you show me what fire is? Show me what fire is, brother. Fire! Fire in the Holy Ghost! Fire! Fire! Fire moves people. Fire gets people out of their seat. Fire changes their mind. I'm going this way, but lightning comes down. Oh, I'm going the other way. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to get next to them preachers.
Come out, please!
Woo! Fire! Fire! The Holy Ghost with fire. That's not Holy Ghost without.
Come on.
That's not Holy Ghost without fire. No, that's Holy Ghost with.
With.
I think of this, I think about zeal. I think about, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. You know what? If God, you know, I believe when God sees somebody on fire, the Holy Ghost, it's just like when somebody repents. I believe he gets all heaven together and go, hey, look at that. Look at that. Get ready. Get ready to help him. Get ready to bless him. You don't know what's going to happen right there. He is actually trying to show them guys Holy Ghost and fire. Help him!
Hallelujah.
I think it's just like a person repenting. I think all heaven moves when the fire moves. Woo! Holy Ghost with fire. It's a big deal. You know, Elijah told them prophets of Baal, he said, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Oh, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Oh, it's going to bring the fire. Now, give the Lord a hand clap. Oh, yes. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. What do you think that is? No fire? You think that means you're going to receive power that ain't going to do nothing? You know what that is? That's like a whole truckload of dynamite without a fuse. You got to have something to ignite that dynamite. And it's fire. It's some kind of spark. It's something that's going to set it off. What would it take to set you off? What would it take to move you? You know what? I got this stain comes over me every now and then. I think it's fire. But I've had a group of people, and I said to them, all right, everybody in, I'm not telling you this. This is what I did in another church. All right, everybody out of your pew, come up here. This is called a move of God. Do you know if you're going to have a move of God, something's got to move? Something's got to move. Now, here's the funny thing about that. I've never done this before in my life. I don't know. I ain't smart enough to think that up. No, I got invited to preach. The man handed me the microphone. And I said, okay, everybody out of your seat. The Lord just give it to me. If he would have given it to me, my carnal mind would have probably said, ah, that ain't a good idea. But he didn't do that. All of a sudden, I started speaking it, and I could feel the Holy Ghost, so I went with it. And when the last person got up in the front, guess what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. Nobody preached a word. It was a move. It's got to be a move. We just need a move in our life. We got to move to wherever the matches are and get them and strike it and light the fuse. And then we can say, hey, hang on just a little bit here. That's going to be an explosion around this place. Woo! Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Right. Matthew 5:13 says this. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its savor. Look, you know what salt does? What salt do?
Flavors.
It flavors? What if you get lots of salt? Then, what happens when you get lots of salt? You get thirsty. Okay, thirsty. Do you understand that the salt of the earth, which is us, should make other people thirsty? Amen, for the living water? That's why he calls it salt. If we got salt coming off of us and it's getting on people and they're getting thirsty, amen, they're going to say, take me to the water. I need some water. You got so much salt on you? I am thirsty. Woo, woo, woo. And then 14, it says, you're the light of the world. A city is not set on a hill, cannot be hid. Watch this. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and is given light. And it says, let your light so shine before men. You know what you need on that candlestick? Fire! It needs fire on it. You got to have a light on that candlestick. That candlestick's nothing by itself. But you put the fire of God on that candlestick, it's going to draw attention. Hey, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, do you know that every light draws its own bugs? Now, you live in Alaska. You got a porch light? What happens in the fall when the porch light's on? There's the bugs. Let me tell you what. If you get that light on your candlestick, you're going to draw the right people. God will send you the right people that only your light can draw. Woo! Come on, somebody. Got to have that fire. Got to have that fire. Let your light shine. There's another scripture here about light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Boy, I tell you, I could get in big trouble with this one, Brother Lomas. I really could, because I would sure like to change the Word of God, which I can't do. But here's what I see. This is Farmer's translation. This won't get you to heaven, but it sure sounds good. He that doeth truth coming with the light. If you got truth, you better have your light on. You better have your light with you. You better be shining bright. How do you know if you got truth? Are you shining? Are you hid somewhere? Oh, come on now. I don't want to be hid. Even selling hot dogs. I can see him giving them hot dogs to his customers. You better pray for that. Do you pray in the name of Jesus? Ooh, that's a good idea. You may sell more hot dogs. You know, oh, come on now. Something out of the box is going to cause what God wants. It ain't going to be carnal thinking. It's going to get away from carnal thinking. Receiving the Holy Ghost. When I received this, man, I wore out the saints and the Most High God for months. My future bride was there watching all of this. And I wore them out. And when I finally got the Holy Ghost, after I woke up from speaking in tongues down here, come to, I don't even know if Pastor was even still there or not. The next time I remember talking to my pastor, I said, Pastor, I finally got it. I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And he just kind of took a pin and popped my bubble. And he said, Brother Farmer, you're just getting started. I worked hard to get this. Man. I mean, some of us got to work for it. I did. I just hadn't forgiven myself. That was my problem. Then the Holy Ghost come in me. And then I thought I had arrived. You know, that's carnal thinking. No, you just been born. It's time to learn what to do with it. It's time to learn about that light. It's time to learn about being a witness. This is just like getting my pilot's license. I worked hard for that. Worked hard for getting that GA license. And when I finally got that license, that FAA guy handed me that card, that sheet of paper, and he says, Mr. Farmer, he says, now you have a license to learn. You know what that license meant? It meant I could probably take me and a couple passengers and not kill them right away. That's what that means. That they got faith enough in you that you're not. It's a license to learn. So what are we doing with our Holy Ghost? Are we learning? Are we hearing? And are we understanding? Are we understanding that it was a Holy Ghost and fire? I'm almost done here. I'll give you some hope. Luke 8, sower went out to sow his seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell upon a rock. Some fell upon thorns. Others fell on good ground. Then he says, he that has an ear, let him hear. The natural man don't get it. I got too many notes for the time I got left. Oh, Jesus. You may think that this is impossible. Go ahead and stand with me. You may think that nobody can act like you. Hey, I couldn't act like me. But I tell you what, when I get excited when I start seeing people coming to truth and start desiring because of something God led me to do. I've said this before in this church. You live in some of the most amazing fishing ground in the country. But do you go fishing? That can be like having the Holy Ghost and not doing nothing with it. People come from all over the world to go fishing in this place. And I know they closed the king season this year. But let me tell you something. The Lord says this. He will make you fishers of men. He chose fishermen to go catch men. And if you've ever had a king salmon on your line, you'll know what I'm talking about. When that king hits that pole goes, woo! And it's... I remember my dad pulling up the anchor one-handed, and with the other pole, he's fighting the pole, too small to help him, and he's pulling that anchor up. He had a roller on a cat for an anchor, and he's pulling that up, and that fish is going, and he gets that anchor up, he starts that motor one-handed, and opens the throttle, and the boat goes like this, and it takes off, and he's flying after this king, and man, it's just wow. I mean, it was adrenaline time. I was a little guy. Well, he wore that fish out. That fish is laying in the water on his side. And Dad grabs that thing with a gaff and he throws it in the boat, wooden boat. I thought that thing was going to tear the bottom out of that boat. This was many years ago. This hadn't got the rigs they got now. That fish was boom, 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 boom. Dad's trying to hit it in the head to slow it down a little bit. Let me tell you what winning somebody like Pastor Summers is like. See, when you win somebody that's a soul winner, that's like catching a king salmon. You got a hold of something that's going to do something. If you've never won a soul, you need to go fishing. If you've won souls, go back to fishing. And catch you a king salmon. Catch you somebody that's going to do something awesome for God. We got this thing in our lives that holds us back, and it's the cares of this world. And it's also the king of distractions. We can get so distracted by what we think is important. Am I talking to anybody? Everybody know what kind of shape this world's in right now and what's going on? I can't put a number to how many good Christian apostolics that I know right now that I'm in contact with that are so hung up on Trump and what Trump should be doing that they can't even give a Bible study. And they can't even be a witness. They're so swallowed up with distraction. Now, the enemy of your soul may not be able to get you to sin, but if he can get you distracted where you can't be a witness, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Yes, I love my country, but you know what? I'm going to another one. I'm part of a different kingdom. I'm not part of Trump's kingdom. I'm part of Jesus Christ's kingdom. I like Trump a lot. I just don't like what comes out of his mouth. I like his policies fine. He's a lot better than that other guy. I had somebody tell me this guy the other day, probably getting out of line here. But this guy says, you know, he's talking about Biden. He says, if I had a cow like him, I wouldn't drink its milk. I thought that was funny. No, you got to watch where you drink. You got to watch you drink and what you put in your mind and what you put in your body. Hallelujah. We need that Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes.
Some of you may think this is impossible, but God says nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in him?
Within us.
No, according to the power
that worketh in us. Yes.
Here. Working here. You've got something inside of you. You got that Holy Ghost in there. Amen. You need to ignite it with some fire. Set it off. Hallelujah. Amen. Stir it up. The Bible says, stir up the gift. Now, the Amplified Bible reads it like this. It says, now unto him who by consequence of the action of his power that worketh within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far above and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest desires, our prayers, our thoughts, our hopes, or our dreams. Well, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to dream big. Dream big. Dream big. If you can't dream big for yourself, dream big for Sister Farmer and I, that we can win villages and villages. That thousands would come. But I think we ought to dream for ourselves. What are you asking God for? You got to ask. You have not unless you ask. Come on, let's all gather up around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Come on up here. We need to ask. I just want, if you need the Holy Ghost, come on up here. We'll ask. Hallelujah. If you need something in your life, oh, you need to ask. If you want a little bit of that fire with that Holy Ghost you got, you need to ask. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I'm so excited, God, for your people. You see here, everybody, come on up here. Get closer. Come on up here. Hey. Everybody moved out of their seat. You know what that means? We're getting ready to have a move. God's getting ready to move in this place. Hallelujah. God is. Let's ask right now. Lord Jesus.